Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Troy Rankin for Alfred today. We appreciate Troy spending time on the bye week. Kind of a bye week for everybody, so I really appreciate you making time for us, Troy. Thank you for being here. The draft. Everybody loves the draft. I don't. And it's not that I don't love Bradley Chubb, because I think Bradley Chubb is awesome, and I wish nothing but success. My man Mike Evans is like actively rooting for all the quarterbacks to like fail miserably to prove his point that, you know, we were smart to get Bradley Chubb. The quarterback evaluation isn't fair until you give the guys at least a year under their belts, and then, you know, we'll see from there. Because if you were to evaluate Jared Goff after his first year, Troy, what would you say? Oh, it's a bust. It's, you know, terrible. This, that, the other thing, right?
Correct. He looked like he was overmatched until he got rid of Jeff Fisher. He got with a brilliant offensive coach in Sean McVay.
You saw Patrick Mahomes just more or less sit on the bench, although he did play against the Broncos last year and did pretty well, didn't he? And, you know, said, I remember Alfred. Oh, the Chiefs. They got Mahomes. That'll be easy to beat them. Guy might win the MVP.
He's
right?
The front runner for me. He, Gurley, Breeze.
Trubisky is playing well for the Bears.
He's okay.
We'll see what happens with these younger quarterbacks. You need time. That's why, logically, once you drafted Paxton Lynch, at some point, you needed to hand him the keys to the car and just let him drive, even if it wasn't great.
But we weren't willing to do that. He couldn't find them with Siri's help, so go ahead.
Well, they made the decision eventually, but it didn't help the process that he had to fight it out with Trevor Siemian for who's going to be the most mediocre quarterback. Now, he did get hurt in training camp, that is true. So that was the longest, like, shoulder recovery of all time, Paxton Lynch. It's like, I don't think you're quite healthy yet. I feel all right. No. I'm not dead yet. Yeah, you're dead. You'll be good in 3 weeks.
Was that Monty Python?
That was an attempt. Poor attempt.
Fantastic.
Thank you. So when it comes to this draft, I would still say, unless Case Keenum was the man. Troy, is Case Keenum the man?
We don't know that yet.
You're not convinced?
Nope.
Okay.
I think he could be a great seat
warmer. I tell you what.
Plackard, he could be a guy to keep the seat warm for another year. I think you stick with him for next year.
You gotta. You'd be insane not to.
But this is where I hate to semi-agree with you. If you keep the seat warm with Keenum next year,
yeah.
Chubb develops, Sutton develops.
That's right.
Lindsey develops. Right. Josie Jewell starts next year, likely the way it's setting up now, at least.
Right.
And you have another good draft class. It doesn't even have to be as good as this one, but two or three more guys.
Why not?
Then that following year.
That's when you get your quarterback.
You get your quarterback.
That's right.
When the team is a little more stable. So the quarterback doesn't have to come in and save you.
Right.
Young quarterbacks, even Wentz his first year didn't.
Right.
Goff didn't. But give him a year to, it's going to be a little rugged.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bring him in when it looks like you basically haven't torn it down to the studs again, like you have the foundation, now the quarterback can be, you know, the house. Like, but now to bring in a young quarterback next year, they're not ready yet for me. Now they might be based on moves, but that's where I agree with you and Tua.
Had they drafted a quarterback this past year, we would be moving forward already. If Josh Rosen was drafted by the Denver Broncos, would he be starting the week after the bye against the Chargers under this? Everything was the same.
This scenario, 3-6?
Yep, we didn't have Bradley Chubb. We had Josh Rosen. We're 3-6. We got a bye week. Would Josh Rosen be starting against the Chargers?
I would think it would be more likely at home against the Steelers to go to 3-7 with 6 left. But that conversation would be present.
It's likely.
That conversation would be out there.
Right.
Should we just start the kid?
And then you have the ideal situation where the kid, I won't even say Rosen, the kid is starting, Keenum's your backup, your money is fine, you're paying the same money, it's not costing you anything, and then you go the last 7 games of the season, and even if you lose every single one of them, well, who cares anyways, because you may need a new You may need a new left tackle. You're certainly going to need a cornerback, and you're going to need a new linebacker. Those things are like slam dunks, right? And now we're drafting what? One of the top rookies of the year is Derwin James.
Safety.
Denzel Ward is having an outstanding year. And so is Bradley Chubb.
Yes, he is.
He is having an outstanding year. But the problem is, it doesn't matter, especially in a pass rush, if you don't have the lead. It's great, you know, it's awesome, but you're 3-6. It'd be awesome to have Bradley Chubb and a developing quarterback too. But because they put so much faith in Paxton Lynch, they didn't even take somebody in the second round. But I don't know who was really worth it in the second round. And Troy, I really don't know who's going to be worth it in the first round next year. So when you say this draft was great, to me, I say you blew it. And yes, you would have not had Bradley Chubb. Bummer, because the kid is really, really good. But you still could have had everybody else and Josh Rosen or Josh Allen. Or if you were smart and you moved up a little bit, Sam Darnold. I mean, the Jets moved up. Why couldn't the Broncos move up? All you wouldn't have. So think about this for a second. What would this team be like without Bradley Chubb and not having Bradley Chubb for the future? Keep going. Say, oh, they would only win 4 games this year. Okay. There's no great pass rushers coming out in this draft? Like, if the Broncos only won 4 or 5 games and they're a top 5 pick, there's no great pass rushers there? I bet there are. I bet there's great cornerbacks there. I bet you get that guy eventually.
Part of the reason I like Chubb is because there's a predictability of performance with a rush guy where you know he can come in and be great here for 7 to 10 years. The quarterback position, even Darnold leads the league in interceptions. He's regressing. He's bobsledding now. Now he's hurt. He's not going to play this week, and he hurt his foot. Doesn't mean he's not going to be great. I'm not saying that. I'm just, with quarterbacks, there's not this predictability of performance. So if you miss with the 5th overall pick, and part of it was because I was jilted by their previous drafts.
Mm-hmm.
For me, there was no way you're going to miss with Bradley Chubb. He's either going to be good or great.
And that's why I call it the auto draft pick. Because you're not. And if you want to go auto draft, that's fine. If you go auto draft, you're going to do well.
You're going to be right if one of those quarterbacks that they could have had a shot turns out to be the guy. That's not the case right now.
It's never the case the first year. It's ridiculous to expect it to be the case the first year.
I could win the argument in year 3 with Tua or somebody from that class that I've already got a solid core for my quarterback to walk into.
Well, I'm in the now. Okay? So I'm with you. And that's why I'm not going to bang the table for a quarterback in the draft. We'll see how it shakes down. But I just know they have too many other elements that they need to fix. I agree with you, and I think you said it very well, and I more or less espouse the same viewpoint. Build the team the best that you can. You got Bradley Chubb, and he's great. He's obviously a pillar for the next 10 years for the Broncos, which is awesome. Find a couple of other guys that are like that. But don't tell me this draft was just unbelievable, unless the plan was to always be terrible this year. Was the plan to always be kind of terrible this year?
No. It was not.
Then it wasn't a good draft, because the draft is about developing guys. Or you could say it was a good draft, it was an okay draft, but it was very poor in free agency. I mean, free agency has been abysmal this year.
Yeah, that was where they usually scored, was free agency.
Man,
who are we talking about? They missed
here?
On everybody.
Everybody.
Glenn McDonald, Marquette King. I mean, everybody.
Trane Brock is look. Sua Cravens didn't play for half the season. Looks like he'll be okay. Jermaine Brock, will he be back next year?
Doubtful. They're going to have to draft a cornerback.
Right.
I'd take Greedy Williams from LSU all day.
I'd take DeAndre Baker from Georgia. But, I mean, whatever. Right? One of those guys. And that's why focusing on a quarterback in this year's draft, when you could, if you finish in the top 10 and you could get one of those guys, you could get the equivalent of Denzel Ward or Derwin James, that sort of guy for yourself.
And then it becomes the argument of, let's say you get a Greedy Williams or a player like that defensively, then do you take a Will Greer in the second round from West Virginia? This is not the class to be digging for quarterbacks. I agree with you there. After Herbert, who might not even come out,
I
still think he will because he's going to be the number one overall pick.
Right.
So although luck did it, but it's very rarely does a player pass up the opportunity to be number one overall, unless he just loves college. But Will Greer's in that conversation. I would not Drew Locke, the kid from Missouri, he's all right. I'm not clamoring to see him.
Right.
Finlay, I was talking to Chubb about him, the kid from North Carolina State. Good. You know, kind of shrug shoulders. The Greer kid impresses me that if you put him in like an offense like Kansas City, an offense like Carolina's running this year, if you put him in a situation with the stuff that he runs, I think he could be a fascinating pick. But not in this offense, the way it's constituted, he would not.
303-713-1043 will get to your text, your calls. Tory Rank in for Alfred today on The Drive.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Well, I wonder what it's like to be a rainmaker.
Bow, 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 bow.
You guys are underestimating Will Greer. This is the RamosLaw.com text line. Will Greer is the quarterback out of West Virginia. Go rewatch the last 10 minutes of the Texas game. The kid is the real deal and will be the best QB out of his class. All right. Done. I'm done. Yeah! Oh. D-Mac, you really want Luck instead of Vaughn? Yeah, here's my deal with Vaughn. He should be traded. Yeah, I said traded. Because he's got value. You're going to need capital in the first round. Troy, what's it going to be? There's ways to move up in the first round. Oh, we should get Patrick Mahomes. Oh, okay. Well, what did the Chiefs do to get Mahomes? They gave up two first-round draft picks and moved from 27 to 10. Where do you want that capital to come from, Troy? It can come from trades of really high-quality players, or it can come from losing games. What do you want? What do you want here?
Bake sales. Cookie sales. Car washes.
Nobody wants to... No, it's painful.
I'm not giving up Vaughn. You guys are on your own track there. Huh? I'm not giving up Vaughn, because you need a pass rusher.
You got one. Bradley Chubb.
One.
Yeah, you draft another. You go after another in free agency down the line. It happens. What are you going to do? We're going to have Vaughn and go, 6-10 and then, 7-9 and 8-8. And by the time three seasons are done, Vaughn's 34 years old and has no value at all.
He's going to the Hall of Fame.
And
you cheered him on thinking, what a career as an all-time Bronco.
And as we go 9 straight years without making the playoffs, I'll be like, wasn't it great to watch Vaughn have a Hall of Fame career?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not trading
Vaughn. Okay, great.
You can do this without trading Vaughn. Won't
how?
Be easy.
Tell me how.
It's draft capital.
How are we getting it?
How are you getting draft capital?
How are we getting it?
By playing the way they're playing now.
Okay, so we're going to lose.
You've got a lot of picks.
So we're
going to
lose with Vaughn. So what's the point of Vaughn? Oh, just this year.
Well, the end game would be that by the second half of next season, you see a team that's like, okay, like the Chargers are this year.
All right. So
I don't know what Saints are about.
So we drafted a quarterback this year. Say we're not. Say we don't really go that direction, right? Or we get somebody in the third, fourth round.
A quarterback?
Yeah. Okay. Next year is what? What's our record? We're probably going at least 7 or 8 wins, right?
Yeah, I'd say 6 or 7.
Okay. Now Case Keenum's done with his contract. Bond's 2 years older. Hopefully he's not hurt. And Case Keenum's not the quarterback because we just missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. His contract expired. We've got a third-round guy as our quarterback. Now what are we doing? We're drafting 17th, 18th in the draft. Now what?
Well, under that scenario, you would be trying to sign a free agent quarterback. But I would...
Okay, you're right. That is correct. And you know what? That's consistent with who John Elway is. We're just going to go through the free agent bonanza every year. So the concept of drafting and developing a quarterback. Now, you make a great argument right there why we should never draft a quarterback high in any round. what's the point? If the real philosophy with John Elway is free agent quarterbacks anyways, there you go. Just throw your hands up in the air. We can't develop quarterbacks anyway. So forget it. We're just on to the next free agent. I don't even know who the next free agent is going to be in 2 years. Do you? I mean who does that even shape up to be?
That the problem with that is most of the guys that are any good never reach free agency.
Right. Because it goes from Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And the second best one is Case Keenum. Okay, he's the second best one. But how far down are you going?
On that list. That's fair.
Do you agree? Well, you don't agree with me because you don't want to trade Vaughn. I get it, and you'll stick to it. But I think you see where I'm coming from.
Yeah, no,
because
listen,
we're 3 years down the line.
Right.
Vaughn's been here for 3 years. We haven't been in the playoffs for 3 years, and now he's 34 years old, and we have no capital with Vaughn whatsoever. Any chance that you had to get a first-round draft pick for Vaughn is gone, just so that he could rush the passer for the past 3 years and, you know, add on to his already Hall of Fame career. To me, Troy, that's the thinking that kept Todd Helton at first base for 4 years when he should have been moved on.
Well, the argument there when they became Todd and the Toddlers is without Todd, they don't win in 07 because he was the rudder of the franchise.
Fine.
For those kids.
That wasn't his last year. What was his last year?
13.
Okay.
But by that point, when they tried to move on from him from 07, he had a complete no trade clause. They had him traded to the Red Sox in a deal involving...
After 07?
No, prior to the 07 season.
I'm glad that didn't happen, obviously.
And he said they had a deal in place for Mike Lowell, the third baseman, and Manny Del Carmen, a reliever, was going to be part of that. And he went to him, and he waived his no trade, but he said to them, don't ever come to me for the trade again. And he didn't. They didn't.
They were too respectful. But that was a previous administration, and
no, well, he had a complete no trade because it's 10-5.
I got it. But you
got
to keep working. Like, you go to the playoffs, and then you get bounced out in 09. The writing's on the wall. Like, we've got to make some significant changes here. And then Todd starting at first base in 10, 11, 12, 13, 4 years, where he probably couldn't start for anybody at first base. And we weren't winning. In fact, that was kind of the, geez, Troy, that's when the days got dark, right?
Yes.
I mean, Ubaldo's gone. We're just tanking left and right. You know, there's Todd. It's great to see Todd, right? Take my kids. We're going to go see Todd Helton. Do you know what the final score was? Let me check your Rockies trivia knowledge. What was the final score of Todd Helton's final game at Coors Field? The game that he had a home run and a double. I think it was 3-for-4, and it was great, and he got a horse and a number. And the what was the final score of that game?
I want to say it was something like 18-7 or 18.
15-5 they lost.
Yeah, Jake Peavy served up the homer to Helton. That he may or may not have known it was coming. He still had to hit it. My favorite memory of that game was that horse that I found out later was sedated.
I don't think anybody remembers the Rockies got waxed in that game.
Well, they remember it because they got waxed in most games that season.
But what? Okay. Am I making any inroads here with you on this?
I get it. I'm not trading Vaughn because you never get value for a superstar player. For me, you don't in sports. I understand the trade concept completely. I just don't understand it with Von Miller.
I thought,
I could be wrong. And with Helton, I was loyal to Helton and I told him that. Like, I'll fall on the sword for you. I would tell him this. Like, hey, it's better. He needed to be a platoon player at the end of his career.
See, to me, trading Demarius made little to no sense.
It makes complete sense for me.
Not to me, because he was willing to renegotiate his deal. And you could have got higher value out of trading Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, okay. So that I was going to say, trading him made complete sense because you have his replacement here.
Okay, fine. But he was good. DT would have accepted a smaller role at a lower salary and been back here.
I don't think he would have.
What was he going to do? You think he was lying when he said that in his interview?
I just think it's when their version of a smaller role and smaller salary is like $2 less. Athletes, their entire reputation is based on salary and based on how they get paid.
All right, we'll go to your calls and your texts. RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. That's where you can call us as well. It's a drive on the Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see.
I liked Bohemian. Oh, you know, it was good. I'd say go see it. Go see it. If you like good music and
because it's easy come.
Aaron, you're on the fan. Hi, Aaron. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going,
D-Mac? Super, super duper.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Troy's here, too.
Okay, Troy, Rank, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Thanks for calling in, my man.
All right. Now, first off, I want to give a shout-out, Troy, filling in for Big Al. Shout out on your 50th birthday and that 51 kick, 51 yarder you put in.
Dude,
it was amazing. It was unbelievable.
I covered Al in college. He was one of the greatest college players I'd ever seen.
He's probably the best overall athlete I've ever known based on his size, strength, speed, just like everything. Like, you know, you might find smaller guys who are, you know, capable of doing stuff, but for Al to be able to do at his size what he once was able to do and can still kind of do, it's amazing. It's really remarkable. So what's up, Aaron? What do you got to say?
All right. So before that, shout out to CU Buffs.
Oh my God, Aaron, you're killing me. Do you have something that you want to say or not?
Okay. Yeah. So first, on the topic of DT. Now, I am a big, long-time Demaryius Thomas fan, first off. Excuse the drops. But secondly, he's been productive. Now, you can say that you will take a pay cut after you get traded. But on the other side
of it, you don't believe it.
I don't believe that.
Do you think Vaughn should be traded?
No. Now, with Von Miller, my thing on Von Miller is if Joe Woods can't get the defense in a setup to pressure the quarterback, that's all Von Miller does.
Okay? All right, I appreciate Aaron. Aaron's just having a hard time just sort of getting to the point. I think what he's saying is that he doubts DT would really do what he said he would do in the interview, kind of agreeing with you, and everybody loves Von.
I have no doubt he would have been open to restructuring, but that figure is a lot different in the athlete's mind than the team's mind.
Remember,
if you asked Peyton Manning to take a $3 million pay cut, the cut would have been deep for DT with maybe no assurances he's on the team. Like, he might have to make the team in training camp. So that's easy to say after the fact you would have taken a pay cut.
Chance, you're on the fan. What do you got, Chance?
I just think, man, we don't need to trade Von Miller. Like, look at what the Texans have done with J.J. Watt, and they developed an offense around the core players they had.
They drafted Deshaun Watson in the first round.
Yeah, so then the Broncos go and draft a good quarterback this year.
In the first round?
I think so.
Who?
I mean, Will Greer's out there, I guess.
First round for Will Greer, huh?
Yeah.
He's going to go in the first round. I'm with Chance. He's going in the first round.
So what about a great cornerback? What about a linebacker? Don't need those guys? Offensive linemen? You realize our offensive line is about to be blown up, right? You realize that, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying we don't need to get rid of our identity on defense by getting rid of our one stable player that we have.
Yeah, we got a superstar now. We got Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb. We have a superstar player, do we not? Do we not have a superstar defensive
player?
He's
not a superstar yet, but he is.
Is he going to be?
He's a burgeoning star, and he is projected to break the all-time single-season rookie sack record.
Well, then I would advise you that he's your new Von Miller, and go chase the DeMarcus Ware that's out there.
He can't be the new Von Miller without the help of Von Miller. Why do you think he gets matchups?
Right.
He does, because
Von Miller. Then you have to go find DeMarcus Ware or another free agent like that, another veteran guy who's maybe a little banged up, and maybe best days are behind him, but is a good bookend. I mean, that is exactly who DeMarcus Ware was.
He sounds like you're describing Sean Phillips and DeMarcus Ware both.
Okay. I mean, there's other guys like that out there.
You're not going to convince me. I'm not trading Von Miller. That's going to be on your cut. Trading Von Miller.
I will fall on the sword and look stupid because
I'm not trading Von
Miller. You're not going to look stupid.
I'm just saying I won't
Von
do it.
Von and Chubb are going to be a good tandem for however long they're here. You're just not going to have...
You can find a linebacker.
Fine.
I would disagree with you. You can find linebacker in the middle rounds. You can find linebackers.
I'm really more focused on a cornerback, yes.
It's hard to find quarterbacks and cornerbacks the deeper you get in the draft.
Right. And I've told you many times. DeAndre Baker, Georgia. Your guy is...
Greedy Williams from LSU.
Greedy Williams, LSU.
He's legit.
So is DeAndre Baker. Look it up. They're both probably top 10 guys.
Well, and to D-Mac's point, I mean, you're looking at a team, if we want to connect the dots here, that could go, let's say, hypothetically, 6-10, that could need a new right tackle, a new left tackle, mm-hmm. a new center,
all right.
two cornerbacks, and have questions at quarterback head coach.
What about left guard?
In left guard. That's what I'm saying. So that's a lot in an offseason. Questions about ownership, quarterback,
coach,
two cornerbacks, coach, left tackle, right tackle, center, and guard. So there's work to do here. There's work to do.
So let's hang on to Vaughn.
Yes. I'm tying the knot at the end of that rope.
Let's not get.
I'm not trading Vaughn Miller.
Let's not get additional first-round picks or anything because, you know, we got Vaughn.
I think the key is Vaughn plays multiple positions next year. Left tackle, he blocks, rushes the quarterback, and then he stays on the field and becomes a tackle.
Thank God we got Jano.
If we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
This is The Drive on the Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's the RamosLaw.com text line. And you can call us there, too. We got full lines. We'll get to those here in a second. Troy Rank in for Alfred. Shane Ray, next Monday. Join the fan at Shane Ray's second annual Raise Awareness Steak Dinner. It's at the Chomp House next Monday. Benefiting underserved kids in the Denver area, players and fan hosts will be in attendance. Looking forward to being down there. Shane's one of my favorite guys. I think he's a good dude. It's unlikely he's going to be back next year, but if he was, that would be awesome. First round pick. You remember that Shane Ray first round pass rushing pick? You remember him?
Yep.
For ticket information, go to 1043thefan.com/Shane. I think people forget sometimes Shane Ray was a first round pick.
Yeah, I wish he'd be, the wrist injury set him back. There's no doubt. Now he's fighting for snaps because Chubb's emerged as a star, a future star, certainly emerging as a star. And there's just a lot of mouths to feed. It's hard to get sacks if you're not on the field. So I can't see this. I like Shane too. He's one of the most interesting guys I talk to on a weekly basis out there.
Nice.
But he's going to be, he'll have a chance because pass rushers, they're at a premium.
Yep.
Not a chance to go somewhere.
Ray, you're on the fan. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Troy and D-Mac. I hope you're doing well.
What's up, man?
What's up?
I'm going to try to stick straight to the point because, I don't want to drag it on.
Okay.
I know there's not a perfect science to this, and a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but if it were me, what I would do is I would attempt, since the quarterback class this next year is not anywhere like it was last year, I would attempt to offer a deal to somebody like Joe Flacco who wants to be the man and is not playing like it because he's not the man right now. Since their future is not for him. And then I would try to draft a cornerback in the first round, maybe a lineman in the second round, and then go for a linebacker in the third round. And that would give you maybe a decent chance at being a decent team next year.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's a weird situation next year because you're going to have, are you cutting Case Keenum or are you keeping him?
I say try to work out a deal, get whatever you can out of him with a pick.
Jeez. All right. Yeah, that's a lot of salary to take on, though, in that particular case.
Yeah, I'm not bullish on Joe Flacco. He's been trending the wrong way for me for years. I've seen him in person now a couple times. I mean, I don't see the upgrade.
I understand
there.
Where he's going, though.
But I do understand the point. I'm not bullish on Flacco.
The Redskins are probably pretty pumped about Alex Smith these days, right?
So he's been okay. They're a running team.
Are they making the playoffs?
I would say they have a good chance. Yes.
I would say they do, too. Jeez, I don't know. I think we'd be pretty excited to be making the playoffs next year.
Well, they're making the playoffs because Adrian Peterson's aging like Benjamin Button.
Ah!
Their whole offense is based on running the football. Alex Smith hasn't played particularly well this year, especially in light of how he played last year.
But his point is, I think Case Keenum could be like that, to be quite honest with you.
Yes! Run the football, play action, action, boot.
I don't think you really need Joe Flacco to get the sort of performance you can already get out of Case Keenum that you've already paid for. What you can't get out of Joe Flacco is 15 more years.
No.
Or 10 more years. Or, you're a first-round pick. They lock you up for five. They get you for two if it goes, you know, at worst, you know, 7 years. I mean, next year, can you have Joe Flacco begin a 7-year run? The hope for me was Case Keenum would begin a 7-year run. Like, he would do well in the first 2 years, and they would just, you know, away we go. Here's the contract.
Quickly on that, just having been around it now since he signed, I think this is my amateur psychologist hypothesis. Case Keenum underestimated what it meant to be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
What does that mean?
This, how big a deal it is. It is the most high-profile job in the state of Colorado. Bigger than the governor, bigger than anyone. Everyone knows who the quarterback of the Denver Broncos is. I think he underestimated. He got a little spooked by the turnovers, the reaction, the boos, you know, the Kelly cheers. I think he underestimated, A, the impatience these fans have after the last couple seasons, and B, just how big of a deal it is. Like, if you're the quarterback for the LA Rams and you have a bad game, no one cares, really. Like, in Denver, they live and die with
this. You think he's feeling that?
I think he was, and I think he's finally starting to understand what it means to be the Broncos quarterback. This is me. He played his best game last week.
Well, that's because they threw to Jeff Heuermann 5 million times.
10 times. Yeah. Now, he had more catches in that game than he did in two previous seasons combined. He had 9 and 9, right?
Yeah,
a couple different
that.
Years. But
I mean, it wasn't just Heuermann, too, because Lacoste got the ball a couple times.
He got one for 44. Lacoste ran on that play like he was a kid leaving class for recess. That was fantastic. And he's got a sick stash.
So we're talking about 12 targets to the tight end position.
Right. Which, if you look at the
when
success,
was the last time that happened?
I would assume it was, I want to say Shannon Sharp, it would have been under Julius Thomas.
I bet it was.
But if you look at Case Keenum's success, last year he was arguably the best red zone quarterback in the NFL. This year he is the worst. Why? They didn't have a tight end until last week. Like, that's who he led. If you look at his, if you go back and watch those games and you look at the way his spray chart, if you use a baseball term, mm-hmm. he leaned on Kyle Rudolph. They ran play action, they ran play action boot, and he leaned on Kyle Rudolph. That's the kid right there, Finley, Ryan Finley from NC State. Chubb's going to be there tonight getting his number retired, by the way.
Very cool.
NC State. Bradley Chubb's a good dude, too. Does the daredevil motorcycle celebration. Everything about Chubb. He's charismatic. He gets it. So, to your point, DeMac, you're right.
I like Bradley Chubb.
But I think Keenum underestimated what it meant to be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. It's one thing to tell someone, hey, it's a big deal here. I'm kind of a big deal, Ron Burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to live it when they're cheering for Chad Kelly. Like, I think it jarred him a little bit, and now he's finally got his feet underneath him, and frankly, it's probably too late.
Let's go to Kiara. Well, hold on, Kiara. Hold on 1 second. What do you mean it's too late? Why is it too late?
I'm talking to get to the playoffs for me, it's too late. Not for him to show he should be back for another year.
All
it's
right.
Just too late for me for them to be a playoff team. They had to win that Houston game.
Okay. Yeah, I think we were in maybe I just had a better grip as to where the season was going than most when I was like screaming about a quarterback.
You're right.
Because I never really saw them as a playoff team this year.
I predict them to be 8-8.
Well, that's not a playoff team.
No, but I thought 8-8 and then the following year playoff team, hope at quarterback. I thought he would play better. He's on pace for 4,200 yards, but he's also on pace for 22 touchdowns, 20 picks.
All right. Let's go to Kiara. Those are daunting numbers. Kiara, you're on the fan. Hi.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Super.
What's up, Kiara?
Hi. So I just kind of wanted to go back to this whole DT and Von Miller situation. So first of all, I feel like we made a really good decision by letting DT go. I think we should have let him go the beginning of the season, honestly. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But I think we did a good decision on that. And then I feel like the mistake that we did make was letting our defensive coordinator go. I mean, as far as Von Miller goes, I mean, okay, we have Wade Phillips. I feel like we have, you know, Chubb there. Now we have Von Miller. I think Von Miller is just kind of, you know, adjusting to new situations, and that's why he's not playing as good as he was before. But I feel like if we would have just kept our defensive coordinator, then I feel like we could have had this extra money to free up and let DT go before the season even started. Do you guys agree? I just want to know how you guys.
Jared, can I ask you a question? How
sure.
old are you?
I'm actually going to be 28 December 4th.
You sound younger. I was just going to say, you must stand out amongst your friends when it comes to sports, because I think those are great insights. I thought for a second you might be like 17 or 18 years old, to be quite honest with you, but...
Well, you know what? Everybody says I look that age, too, so I guess it goes hand in hand.
All right, well, thank you for the call.
The reason they didn't move on from DT prior to the season, which there was an argument to do so...
I love Kiara's thought process, though.
She's analyzing it with a cold analysis. The reason they didn't move on was they were recruiting a quarterback, whether that was Kirk Cousins, who was never going to come here because he felt Minnesota was closer to a Super Bowl, honestly, no matter what number they offered.
I don't believe that. I think if they offered $90 million guaranteed, he'd be happy to consider the Denver Broncos.
He would not have come here because the Jets, okay, he would have taken 88 to go to the Vikings, who are way closer.
Okay.
Secondly, that's the reason they kept DT and Emmanuel, with the idea
as bait
to get a quarterback.
Right.
But she's not wrong that you could have argued that it was better to move on. You didn't know at that time you had Cortland Sutton. I mean, if you had known...
You did about 3 weeks into training camp, you knew.
Yes. And that's why there were trade rumors. You guys had me on that night from Washington. Hey, hearing about DT to New England.
Right.
That wasn't complete fiction.
Right.
That was more agent-driven, in my opinion, to try to have them seeing the writing on the wall. That's why this idea that DT was blindsided by all this. It's like the third week of preseason in Washington.
Right.
There were rumors that you might get moved before the end of camp. So
Wade Phillips. Not retaining Wade Phillips may go down as one of the greatest blunders in Broncos history.
They misjudged Joe Woods more than they...
To think that we moved on from Wade Phillips because we couldn't risk losing Joe Woods, huge, huge blunder. Huge blunder.
I will say this, they're getting sacks again, though. They have 28 sacks. They ranked second in the league. They at least
figured
that part out.
If you want to make the argument like John Elway said this week, they're getting better, okay, I can see it.
They're competing. That is fair.
They are
competing.
Compared
to a year ago where they were not competing.
In terms of getting over that edge after the bye week, I don't know. We can go there. What's going on with the Joker? Jokic, what a bizarre situation. We'll dig into that as well as more of your calls. Mark Schlereth wants to chime in.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Talk about controlling the message. So DT says, listen, I was lied to. It bothered me. I heard all the rumors. I asked Coach Vance Joseph. He said, nothing to see here. You're fine. You're not getting traded. And then 2 days later, you are traded. Regardless what happened. If that's incorrect, if DT misremembered, regardless what happened, it doesn't matter. Control the message. Stand in front of the podium and say, listen, that guy no longer plays here. I'm not talking about it. We move on. Yet you feel like you need to explain yourself. You don't need to explain yourself in that situation. So that's my response to the way Vance handled that situation. And those are things, it's just another reason it hasn't been good enough. That's where we are. You know what you have to be able to do as a head coach? You got to command your audience. You got to command your football team when you talk to them. You got to command your individual players when you talk to them. You've got to command your coaches when you talk to them. And you've got to command the media and the message when you talk to the media. And if you can't do that, you know what? You're not going to be long when it comes to getting your cleats on the ground.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.